the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Here at Podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site that covers your Arizona Cardinals, and we're in episode 577. This is one of the regular shows on the podcast. As you've known, we have added kind of a second feature to the podcast, still all the same podcast, but Howard Balzer doing his audio updates from Cards Camp. And something I anticipate he will be doing over the course of the regular season, practice notes and commentary like that. But with this is the OG group, Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site. With me in show 577 is the Cardinals had their first preseason game of the season. It wasn't a David Blau comeback, but it was almost a Clayton Tune comeback. They take a 14-13 lead with under 2 minutes left in the game, thanks to a touchdown pass from Clayton Tune to Tony Jones, only to have, what did it feel like kind of this last year? Like anytime
I was going to say, it was just a low scoring version of last year with Kyler Murray. Right?
Yeah. And then the defense would just give up the final score. And that's exactly what happened. Spencer Rattler, Pinnacle High School kid from here, who went on to play at Oklahoma and then South Carolina, highly touted for a little bit, was a Heisman favorite. And at some point, people thought he was the favorite to be like the number one pick. And then he was benched for Caleb Williams. He transferred. He was fine at South Carolina to being the fifth round pick of the New Orleans Saints. Interestingly enough, he was the seventh quarterback taken in the 2024 draft, but the first taken after the first round. The first taken after the first 12 picks is there were six quarterbacks gone in the first 12 picks of the draft, which is something ridiculous. And then none other till Rattler in the fifth round, which is wild. But we're not going to talk about Rattler, are we, Seth? That's not why we're here. We're here to talk about the Cardinals and their preseason contest. But honestly, who cares about the final score in the preseason? We don't care about the final score in the preseason. It matters in terms of competitive play by the backups at the end. But I mean, Seth, how many times have we seen a 3-1, a 4-0 Cardinals preseason team to go on and win 4-5 games of the season?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, people are getting overly worried about certain things or the lack of certain things. And it's like, you know, everybody has to do their own thing and find it. And with this group, you're seeing that they really are comfortable with their starters, but they have a lot of questions about their backups. And you and I have talked about this quite a bit. This group is talented, but it seems to be top heavy right now still, right?
I mean, honestly, yes. At some positions you feel better than others. Like running back, you feel pretty all right. The offensive line is okay. The defensive line is much better. But yeah, in fairness, I think a lot of teams are that way, but especially the Cardinals, they're still at the core not a good team yet. And until they
prove it, right?
Right, until they prove it. Until then, there's that roster is suspect, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's just the way you kind of have to look at it. And so this, you know, this group is just interesting in general. And I think we're going to see how this compares over the next several weeks as they kind of get down, because I mean, even today we're recording on Tuesday night, they added a wide receiver and a running back, which makes you assume that like we're not going to see Marvin Harrison Jr. the rest of the preseason, and you wonder if Amari DiMercato is going to even get any run at this point, right? Like, they'll probably end up kind of just holding him out the whole preseason. So they're adding, you know, what we unfortunately have to refer to as camp bodies, right? For the last, 3 weeks of camp and two preseason games. So, you know, we'll see how that all works out, but it's an interesting dilemma. And we've seen different things pop up over the last several weeks and questions that we'll have and questions that we hope to get answered. But quite frankly, I don't think we're going to get the answers for probably the better part of the rest of the preseason, because just not seeing the starters, right?
Right. The fact that
makes it really difficult.
Right. They didn't play the starters at all. And we talked about this last week. None of the players I thought would play ended up playing. In fact, even Mac Wilson sat out.
Can we really even say Marvin Harrison Jr. played? I mean,
no, like he was out there for three total snaps. They wanted to get him the ball, but unfortunately, Desmond Ridder getting sacked on 2nd and 9 kind of ruined that. And then going with the draw play to Michael Carter, 3 and out. They're like, okay, but it was more about getting him game reps than it was more than just getting him game reps. They wanted to get him the ball just, you know, to get the feel for it. But it was about making sure that he was in the mindset that he knew about game preparation in the NFL. It's like he knew he had a routine about getting ready for an NFL game, that sort of process. And it's kind of interesting, something that the Cardinals have done under Jonathan Gannon that they did not do before. And I don't watch enough other preseason games to see this, but it pretty much standard operating procedure has been, there would be a whole bunch of players who, like the starters or the veterans, if they weren't playing, they wouldn't even dress. That's not the case for the Cardinals. They have, unless they are medically out, everyone dresses, everyone warms up. Everyone goes through the walkthrough in some sort. Everyone stretches on the field. They're all in pads. And that they did last year. Honestly, it makes my job more difficult because, you know, when we would scour the sidelines to see who's on the sideline not dressed, we could tweet and write, these guys are not dressed. Now we're like, these guys are all on the field. And then we have to scramble and, you know, publish, these were the starting lineups. These players aren't playing. But yeah, and so it ended up being that the outcome, and in fairness, as we're looking at things, we couldn't really compare apples to apples because of the fact that the Cardinals had no starters minus Marvin Harrison Jr. And then if you want to nitpick a little bit, maybe Star Thomas on defense might be a starter. And so it was a bunch of second stringers against all of the Saints starters for basically the first quarter. And so Arizona's offense looked pathetic, but for good reason, right? When we talk about the preseason a lot, your better players should look good against lesser players. Like, When we seen Blaine Gabbert, I'm going to put Blaine Gabbert look right. He should have been the best player on the field. He was a former first round pick when he was the backup last year and carved up the Cardinals defense when he came in their preseason went over the Cardinals. So of course he looked good because he's a capable NFL quarterback going against practice squatters. So he should look good. And so that was really hard to judge for the fans. And that leads us to our first topic, and that is the quarterback battle for the backup spot between Desmond Ridder and Clayton Toon. And from the general, if you're a basic fan, just a casual fan, or even if you're a hardcore fan, it was hard not to come away from that game and think, ooh, Ritter's not that guy. He's not that guy. And then to see Clayton Toon in the second half, because, you know, putting aside the Ridder performance, if we remember Clayton Tune, a year ago as a rookie, there wasn't a single thing he did in the preseason, in his preseason action, that led you to believe that, oh, he's got it. This preseason game, his throws were on target. They were anticipatory. He looked like an actual quarterback. I was really impressed with Tune's play. Again, it's important to note that he played the second half going against second and third stringers and guys who won't be playing football in the NFL this September. So, but that said, he was pulling against those same guys last year and looking not good.
Yeah, and that's growth, and that's kind of what we talk about all the time, right? Like, just let's see some growth from this guy. Let's see some improvement from this guy, and you know, we've seen that at least this year, this portion of the year, and that's good to see, man. I mean, that's all you can ask for. And when you get a fifth round pick or sixth round pick, whatever he was last year, you look at it as a, can you develop this guy into a backup? You know, everybody wants Dak Prescott, everybody wants Brock Purdy, but that's just not a realistic, you know, scenario most of the time. So you that's how you look at it, that's how you go about it, and you hope that this guy turns into something as a serviceable backup in the vein of like a Colt McCoy, right? That spent a lot of time in the NFL. And then if he is anything more, it's just a bonus. But that's how you have to look at rookie quarterbacks outside of the top, probably the top two rounds, but definitely the top 100, right?
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about Ritter's play? Now, in fairness, like we do have to add this. Ritter has not looked good.
No.
Now, neither Ritter nor Tune in camp looked good. While Kyler has been dropping dimes and throwing dots everywhere, that has not been the case for Ritter and Tune. They have struggled in their throws. They've been the one turning the balls over. But what would you say about Ritter's play in the first half?
You know, it's just one of those situations where you watch him play and you see why he's available. I mean, unfortunately, he's just, you know, he's a guy that has struggled with consistency, especially as a thrower of the football. And you know, he's got some Josh Dobbs-like game to him where he ends up running better than you expect, right?
That is exactly the comment I think that's the thought that came to mind is what I think I mentioned we all mentioned in the group chat in our group text during the game. And like watching Ritter play, like the best thing about his game is his playmaking with his legs. In that sense, he looks very Josh Dobbs. Now, he's a more accomplished quarterback than Josh Dobbs was, but at least within the context of what we saw from him in this game action is that there were accuracy problems. Like he had that fourth down throw to Andre Bocelli. That's a first down. Heck, that's a touchdown if he doesn't throw it stupidly to Bocelli on that fourth down when they passed on the field goal. He was a little bit skittish. Like, granted, he was pressured early, so he wasn't able to be on his spot, but he wasn't sure with where he was going. He didn't look confident in the pass game. But the one thing that you do get from him is that he's very athletic. He can make plays with his legs. And part of that, I'm sure, is a new system playing behind backups. I still believe. I honestly, and while I did, I'll admit it, this was a, you know, prisoner of the moment type thing. When I made my 53-man roster projection post that preseason game that I put out earlier this week, I did put Clayton Tune in over Desmond Ritter, but that's not a belief. I truly believe that it's going to take an extraordinary effort from Clayton Tune to outdo Desmond Ritter, because the coaches and the organization have 2 years of pro film that they can look at Ritter and see that when you look across the board, while he's not a good starter, he is a mediocre, average NFL quarterback, which is probably the best case scenario you can have in a backup. You know, we went over this when they traded for him. Started 17 games. They're 8-9, and the Falcons were 8-9 in those 17 games. 14 touchdown passes, 12 interceptions. Incredibly, if we're going to talk like the kids, Ritter's incredibly mid as a quarterback, but offers a playmaking ability with his legs that allows him to do that, to do more. And he had, like, if you add that in, he's got 5 career rushing touchdowns. He's got 19 touchdowns combined to 12 interceptions, which is, it's pretty okay. And they're going to go with that experience. I think they'd rather you'd, I think the coaches trust that more, even more than Tune. And everything Jonathan Gannon has said dating back to last season, he is a big fan of Clayton Tune. Is he so much of a fan that they were going to ride with him as their backup? No, clearly not, as they traded for Desmond Ridder. I don't know that, but that's but my
also,
thought.
I mean, they also didn't give up anything, right? And no offense to Rondale Moore.
Felt Rondale Moore was on the chopping block anyway.
Right. And so it was just more of a situation where you look at it and you go, oh, this is, you know, let's take another stab at a backup quarterback and kind of let the best man win. But we'll see how it turns out too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I anticipate we'll kind of see more of the same. I wonder if we'll see. Here's the thing. We'll know how much of a competition it is. Obviously, of course, they're competing for the backup spot, but we'll see how much of a competition it is, or how close the competition is, if Gannon decides to swap Ritter and Tune for their roles this weekend, right? Because if it's truly like even, they're going to give them the same type of reps so that it's a, you know, sort of comparing apples to apples, right? And they would put Tune in the same situation that they put Ritter in last week. If it is again Ritter and then Tune,
they have already made their decision.
Basically. They've more or less made the decision. And my guess is,
unless Ritter's just so bad again,
right?
Now it becomes a conversation.
Yes. And my guess is going into preseason finale against the Broncos, the plan will be Tune will play that entire game, and Ritter would only go in an emergency.
Correct.
And yeah, which is fine. Although I will say this, I was like, while I'm mildly concerned about the play of Desmond Ridder, it was really good to see the progress of Clayton Tune, because a number of late round quarterbacks that we've seen come through Arizona over the years, whether it's Ryan Lindley or John Skelton or Logan Thomas, who then became a tight end later on.
He's a great tight end, right?
Yeah. But not so great that he didn't, like, remember we were talking about Logan Thomas and what a great addition he was to the 49ers?
Right.
They cut him.
I know.
I'm like, what? Oh, well, so much for that. So much for that. But if we've ever seen that, is that those young quarterbacks rarely show progress. Ryan Lindley, as bad as he was at a rookie, guess what? He didn't look. I remember when we were on the show. I remember when I was recording podcasts in my closet back in 2014 when we were recording, and we were trying to hype up everyone for this is not rookie Ryan Lindley. This is not the same Ryan. It was completely the same Ryan Lindley. Logan Thomas didn't look better. In fact, between Logan Thomas and Ryan Lindley in the preseason, they keep neither of them and went and signed and went and traded for Matt Barkley that year. Remember, John Skelton had the nice rookie season. He had the nice, you know, come in for Kevin Cobb 2011, but then that next year looked atrocious. And after Cobb got hurt in 2012, and he looked bad and was got benched for Ryan Lindley. And so for the first time in a long, long time, we've seen a project quarterback make improvement where you're like, oh, this is nice.
Right. And now you just kind of want to see that growth continue and hope that the growth can continue in Arizona.
Coming up next to the Rise of Sierra podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's talk about the rookies. We've got a couple other things to talk about. But let's specifically talk about their draft picks and how they look. That's coming up next on Rise of Sierra. We're back on the Rise of Sierra podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. And let's talk about the play of the rookies. There were a handful of guys that really stood out. If we kind of want to go down the list, let's start with Marvin Harrison. Can't really say much. Can't really give him a grade. He played three snaps and ran one route. And that one route and resulted in a sack. So not much there going on. Excuse me. Darius Robinson, though. He looked good in limited playing time.
Yeah, 10 snaps looked good in those 10 snaps. I mean, that's all you can ask for from the you know, small amount of reps that he got in that situation. You know, how to tackle, how to pressure. Just kind of what you wanted to see from him overall, that you feel like this is a guy heading in the right direction.
And it was against starters. It was against starters. It was against the starting Saints offense. Yeah. So you're like, he's a guy who could have a nice productive role.
Trevor Penning and Taisi Fuaga. So, yeah, he did a nice job. It's just one of those things. I mean, 10 snaps, you can only glean so much, but you can tell that he's still more comfortable and effective right now as a run stopper, like an athletic run stopper with pass rushing upside, which I think everybody's kind of expecting and okay with, right?
Yeah, and honestly, especially since I think they view him primarily as an interior guy, that's kind of what you want to see. And the pass rush juice is kind of a bonus, and you can throw them out on the edge in certain packages. It's fun to see. Now, this is kind of tangentially related. It's you know, game adjacent. Jonathan Gannon, when he was asked about Robinson on Monday, Darren Urban asked him if there's a chance that he could compete for a starting job. And Gannon said 1,000% yes. Although when we look at the personnel on the defensive line, Justin Jones, Bilal Nichols, Roy Lopez, he's not starting. Like, Roy Lopez, you know what? No, side note, Roy Lopez is this year's lucky foe too. Like, quietly has found himself a nice role that the coaches trust him in that role. Lucky foe to kind of flip and flop for a while. And last year, you know, nose tackle, they put him in nose tackle, and he did a pretty good job. And that's kind of what Roy Lopez is here. Like, how seriously do you think that Gannon said that 1,000%? Yeah. Was that lip service? Was that just, hey, every job's up for grabs? Or does he have a chance at being a starter, quote unquote starter, this year?
Yeah, I think every job in this situation's up for grabs. I think also that you have to realize that this team, you know, is, like we said, top heavy in their talent realm. So they're going to have work to do in order to continue to get better and grow as a team. And so, you know, from that perspective, you're going to have to look at it and see what he can do. And I think right now you're seeing that he is a guy that has a little bit of ability, to do a bunch of different things along the line, and hopefully he'll continue to grow into that.
Now, you know, you and I know this, but it's important to note that when it comes to a starting role, starting doesn't necessarily mean anything, because let's go back to 2020. Isaiah Simmons, number 8 overall pick. You know what he did? He was a starter the first 4 games of his NFL career. And you know how many snaps he played those first 4 games? 44 total. And we saw this also kind of in a couple other seasons, I think in 2021 as well. And he ended up with a larger role, but I think it was to appease Mr. Steve Keim, who insisted that he be a starter. It was putting him in the starting lineup and then taking him out. I can see for show sake, for a couple of reasons. One, Darius Robinson, you know, they he maybe like he's going to be impactful. And two, with the sort of uncertainty about the outside linebacker position, I could totally see him in week one technically lined up in the starting lineup at outside linebacker on that first down play opposite Zaven Collins. So you've got Justin Jones, you've got Bilal Nichols, you've got Roy Lopez, and then you've got, instead of Victor Dimakaji, who had a few starts last year, or even Dennis Gardeck, you've got big old Darius Robinson playing the edge as in their run package, which I could see. I don't think that would mean he'd play more than a handful of synapses on the edge, because I think he will have a role that way in there, in a couple of in their speed package. I'm certain that he will get to stand up and do that. But I could see that happening just for appearances' sake, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think this group is as worried about that as the last guy was at the end, where he and I'm not talking about Cliff Kingsbury, obviously, but like where he felt like he needed a
those
win.
Rookies have to start.
Yeah, wins here and there because of how bad things were going. I mean, that's kind of always the last ditch thing that we hear about. So,
Max Melton did not play. He was. Whether he was healthy enough to play is one thing. He didn't get the practice reps during the week. And perhaps that is already, like, whether it was health related, and I'm sure they wanted him to play, but also protecting him because they anticipate him being a starter. Though I'm not 100% convinced that he will be the starter. I think the way Star Thomas has been playing, I think Max Melton might be relegated to Buda Baker rookie year relegated to special teams because of the guys in front of him. You know, Buda Baker, second round pick, played special teams his rookie season, was a Pro Bowl special teams player. But the reason why he played special teams is because they had Tyvon Branch in the lineup, a guy who played, who was arguably a Pro Bowl level player the previous year in 2016. And it was Tyvon's injury that put Buda in the lineup, and then that's kind of all she wrote. Max might be in that same role, but we'll see this week. Hopefully he plays against Indy. Their third round picks, Isaiah Adams. What did you think of Isaiah Adams in his time that he played? Because there were a couple of notable bad plays.
Yeah, not good. Not good. Did we skip Trey Benson?
Oh, let's go with Trey Benson. He played, you know, a few plays and looked fine. He looked like a running back that was running. That he looked like a running back going behind a second team offensive line going against starters.
Right. And you know, I've seen some people out there saying he was hesitant, this, that, and the other. I'm like, it's an interesting take.
Benson, there's one thing about that, and he said it after the game, is like, this was the first game he'd been against pro competition other than his teammates. He noticed, and again, since going against starter, because he really, like in camp, he hasn't been going against first teamers. He's been going against backups. He said that they're faster. And like, things happen faster in the NFL. And Darius said, like, these guys are bigger and faster, but he's like, I played in the SEC, so he didn't feel like the size and speed was significantly bit better than what he was already useful. But Benson noticed it, because things, like, you have to make your decisions more quickly.
Right, exactly. And so it's a work in progress, and you know, again, there's a reason he was a third round pick and they're not expecting him to be an impact starter day one, right?
And we talked about Isaiah Adams. At best,
I don't think it was as bad as everybody said, but I definitely think it shows that, one, he was out of position for a full year and he's trying to get back into working. But two, he's really good run blocking. I think we need to acknowledge that. Like, he's very, very good run blocking.
Tip Ryman was... he's fine. There was nothing that stood out about his play.
Jones, another great run blocker.
Yes, like,
just another great blocker, I guess we should say.
Elijah Jones did get beat notably.
Not Not good, man. And we could just lump in Jaden Davis, and I know he's the seventh and final pick.
Yeah, Jaden Davis, whatever. But, he's not making the team.
Elijah Jones and Jaden Davis were overwhelmed. I think that's the best way to say how they looked. Like, they just looked – they looked like guys that were overwhelmed.
We go – now, I will say this. Holy cow. Did Rabbit, Dadrian Taylor Demerson, did he not look like Buddha out there the way he played?
Yeah, but he's also just slightly more athletic than Buddha the way – and he just – you know, it's really interesting because he's a guy that he still needs some work in coverage, especially just recognizing things. He's relied on his just insane athleticism for a little too long. But for a guy that's, you know – sub 200 pounds, that's sub 6 feet tall. Everything this guy does is like he's shot out of a rocket.
Right. That's the one thing if we notice, if we watch and NFL guys say it, the thing that's most notable about Buddha Baker is his play speed, his closing speed, the angles that he takes. And there were a couple of plays from Rabbit where it looked like Buddha out there. Like, there was so much space. Like, it was the play, I think it was to a tight end out on an out route, that it was near the sticks. And there was all sorts. And that was a slow developing play. But once Rabbit recognized it, the closing speed, and it would have ended up being like a 1 yard game. Like, what? That's exactly how Buddha plays. And, you know, he did a lot of things well. He said good things after the game. The coaches liked what they saw from him. But, you know, he is one of the guys that's not likely going to play this year. But to see him do the things, you're like, oh, like, this is why they got him, because he's built like Buddha Baker. And like, if we're going to be honest, like, there's a higher end ceiling in some ways. Buddha was more polished for certain. Because Dadrian was an incredible playmaker defensively, ball hawk at Texas Tech. Incredible on-ball production.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, you know, we're never going to say or assume that a guy that's close to 25 already in Rabbit is going to be at the level that Buddha Baker has reached. However, it's unequivocal that he was better on ball production in college than Buddha did.
Oh, and, absolutely. And that was in fact was the biggest knock about Buddha coming out of college, is his inability to pick off passes.
But it'll be a thing to watch, because at the end of the day, the NFL is completely, you know, a different game.
It is.
And Rabbit, again, that was, I think, the biggest thing I saw in this one, is that he just, his eyes aren't as disciplined as they need to be yet. And it's not surprising. I mean, we're talking about a fourth round safety, but he's gotten
Texas Tech,
right. Who's gotten away with it because he's so athletic, and PBUs and INTs are now going to be completions until his eyes get better. And that could be the difference between a guy that's a good safety in the NFL and a guy that could potentially, you know, be the heir apparent to Buddha Baker.
Christian Jones, I didn't see anything notably good or bad about Jones.
Oh, you skipped a good one. You skipped a good one. Xavier Thomas.
That's correct. Oh, okay. I knew that was the one in the fifth round. I just couldn't remember which order they were. Yeah. Xavier Thomas. Woo, he looks good.
Yeah, and it's something that you and I joke about all the time, like all the time. But, and I think we've mentioned it on here in passing, but never really kind of broken it down. It's definitely something for another day, but like the amount of ways that Keim and Montias and Ford differ are, you know, massive. But the biggest one seems to be that you see them drafting either very intentionally on day three or athletic freaks who they're like, let's just see if there's something there. I mean, we go back to last year, a guy in Owen Papo, right, that starting to look like he's starting to get it a little bit. And that dude was a complete freak of nature. Xavier Thomas, you know, Taewon Palmer, you know, those guys, we talked about Rabbit, obviously. Those guys all just freaky, freaky athletes, you know. And our guy, Steve, preferred either small school guys or hard workers that were like athletically maybe just not as gifted and you know that. And it was just always interesting because
it was all over the place, honestly, with right. his picks.
But I mean, you look at it, the guys like, you know, you had guys like Keyshawn Johnson, right, who just was a jag, right? And you're like, all right. And then Lamont Guyard, who was an undersized kind of
centers they always drafted every single year. Mason Cole, Lamont Gilliard.
Yeah. And it was
Evan
like,
Bain.
Right. It was like Michael Minette, man.
Michael Minette.
And it's just, it's funny to go back and look because I feel like that's where Monty would really swing things in his favor in terms of like, we've talked about this before, but if you end up getting a guy who makes an impact, that's a fifth or sixth round pick, not a guy like Clayton Toon, who we would love to see be a long-term backup, but like a guy that is a heavy rotational or a starter at a key spot, like an edge. Holy cow. You're talking about like shifting the entire balance of your draft class
absolutely.
And I'm not saying this is Xavier Thomas, but if Xavier Thomas becomes a guy like who is the guy that Seattle just signed that was in, I want to say, is it Nwosu that had the
Ucheno
that had like the one really good season, you know, like if he becomes a guy like that, or you know, a guy that is a, you know, 6 to 8 sack a year guy,
or heck, even a 4 to 5 sacks in a rotational role.
I know, man,
goodness,
like that's just such a massive, massive win for a GM. So like that'll be interesting to watch because this guy, he's undersized, man. I mean, that's just the reality. I mean, he's the thickness, the low to the ground, the athleticism all play out, but you know, he's still going to get pushed around a little bit and run defense, but he looks like a guy that can help off the edge, and they just so desperately need that, right?
Yeah. Christian Jones, I was talking to him, and this is a guy that we both had a very interesting athletic profile because you look at his overall numbers, you're like, athletic, but then he has that athletic red flag with his three cone. And, you know, we're watching him to see, okay, is he Dorian Johnson? And Jones has been hit with, there was nothing for me. There was nothing notable about his play, good or bad, which honestly, for a fifth round tackle, who's probably practice squad this year.
Yeah.
Fine.
But can we be honest? He was better than the third round guard.
That's true.
Because like you said, there was no discernible things where you're like, oh, this was bad. Whereas Adams had,
he just completely got ran by on one of the sacks. He got flagged for that, a holding call down the field on DJ Dallas's 25-yard run. A draft pick who did not do well, and we already mentioned Jaden Davis. Tajon Palmer had a terrible game.
Yeah, and that's just, I mean, again, that's just one of those things where you look at it and you go, the moment's just way too big for this guy right now. And that's not a shot at Tajon Palmer, but like coming from Alabama Birmingham, where you didn't do a whole lot, didn't play a whole lot of great talent around you. And now, you know, I mean, think about that ball tune through in that instance, in that situation. That was a dime, man. That was a beautiful throw. and Palmer just drops it. And he looked, if you go back and watch the play.
Oh, was that the one that he obviously pushed off on too?
Yeah. And you go back and you go back and you watch it though, and you watch the excitement. Kyler was running down the sideline, and then he sees the ball squirt out, and you know, it's just like, it's one of those situations that, you know, Jaden Davis, Taywan Palmer, Elijah Jones, just overwhelmed by the moment. And you know,
well, I will say this, Jaden Davis, like on the very first play he got in the game, he tipped a pass. I mean, he didn't do that.
Right.
I will say the rookie would not a draft pick, Xavier Weaver. Guess what? Looks pretty decent.
Yeah.
And
it's going to be that guy we talked about, right? He's going to be that guy that pushes that for that wide receiver position or that return position. Because the guy that, you know, he's one of those funky guys that just doesn't, like, he's not overly athletic. Like, he's not, you know, a burner or have any outstanding testing numbers, but he just seems to, like, make guys miss and is hard to bring down. And that's, you know, just quite frankly, not a coachable thing.
No, and he can play in the slot. He can come across the middle. They used him on one of those jet sweeps. So you've got that. If you're looking for a, you know, if you need a guy who can fill the Greg Dortch role, if Dortch is out, you've got that guy. He made plays in the return game. And like, if they're going to keep six receivers, and I had Weaver making the roster based on what we saw this week, if they keep six receivers. And then, you know, Joe Shimko, I don't know. they had Brewer snapping for, what was it? Brewer snapping on kicks and Shimko snapping on punts. Will be interesting to see how they do that. That's one of those comps, like, so what? Who's ahead? Like, what? How do they view that competition? It's kind of the thing with the quarterbacks. Like, are we going to see their roles switched next week? In that, I don't know.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting to kind of watch move forward, because how do these, you know, how do these battles kind of end, and where do they go from here? And, you know, we'll see where everything ends up at, because right now it seems like the top, what, like 30 or pretty 35 probably are pretty easy calls, but it's like, I don't know what to do with the rest of these.
Coming up next on the Rise of Seaward podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk. Well, let's talk about the other standouts and the other duds that we saw in that game. That's coming up next on Rise of Seaward. We're back on the Rise of Seaward podcast, but our Cardinals Talk the Web. We've talked about Tune versus Ritter. We've talked about the rookies and the draft picks specifically. Who are the other players that stood out? And maybe it's like the studs, the other studs and duds, let's call it, as you'll often see on the internet. Winners and losers, studs and duds. Like, there were two guys in particular that I'll say honestly, four guys that I thought were like, okay. A guy that I never would have expected, and I don't think he's got much of a shot to make the roster, but maybe Darren Hall looked really good. Was a cornerback. He's playing safety now for the Cardinals. He played for the Colts. They signed him. He'd had him listed as a cornerback up until recently. I saw him working with the safety. So he's been working with the safeties all offseason. He covered some in the slot. He played some safety. He was real physical. He looked good in coverage. He forced a fumble. He broke up a pass in the end zone. It's one of those guys I'm like, you know, that's a guy to pay attention to, especially in that safety room. I'm like, it looks like Joey Blunt is ahead of Andre Chasseret. We know three guys are locks. Is it going to be Blunt? Is it going to be Chasseret? Or then you're like, oh, maybe Darren Hall, which that was the biggest revelation to me was Hall's play.
Yeah, and I liked what Hall did. You know, I thought it was interesting that he is kind of a defensive back more than anything, right? Like,
yes,
he is a corner, like you said, but like he's got time at safety. He's been a nickel, like he's kind of done everything, and he's looked decent. We talked about Owen Popoa earlier. I'm not going to harp on that. I think he's genuinely on the cusp of being a breakout player. But the guy that like stood out to me defensively, and I think there's two, and I'll let you take the other one because I think we're on the same page. But I'll go with Starling Thomas, right?
He was the guy for me. I'm like, I've said it since OTAs. I'm like, he's the guy that's going to make it hard for Max Melton to get in the lineup because they liked him last year. He didn't like his numbers and coverage were not great if you look at the analytics from PFF. But Jonathan Gannon loves him. He's gotten praise from Gannon. He's making plays in camp. He made a play in coverage in the game. Dave Sears mentioned Thomas by name, the assistant GM on the Dave Pasch podcast that came out today. Thomas is going to be tough to supplant. He is, for me, he's the wild card of that group. And he's a guy I felt didn't really have a chance at making the roster. But he might be, like, I think he's locking up a starting role.
Yeah, and he's doing a really good job. So you had Starling, the other guy I was going to say, and it was a quick, brief thing, was Roy Lopez. I mean, you know, you mentioned him a little bit earlier, but I thought he was really, you know, he looks like a guy that's just going to give you, what, 30, 35 snaps a game, and they're going to be really, really solid and something that you don't worry about.
And what would be fantastic is if the rest of the line stays healthy, he can simply play the role of nose tackle. Leckie ended up having to do a little bit more last year, but this is exactly what we were saying about Leckie Fotu last year, because we all thought, like, we thought Rashard Lawrence was going to step up, and it turned out Rashard Lawrence can't, you know, he can't get a job right now. And Leckie really stepped up. He held that starting role in the nose tackle position, got hurt, got himself an okay contract to go to the Jets. But Roy Lopez looks like that guy this year. And you know, in that role of big guy in the middle of the defensive line, taking double teams, it's good. Now, on offense, for me, the two players that stood out for me were Michael Carter and Tony Jones, neither of whom I think are going to make the roster, but they both, for me, they looked good. Michael Carter played in the – and they both actually played. It was interesting how they had the rotations because Benson started, and then Carter was in the third down role, which if we're going to look at the regular season right now, it looks like it'll be James Conner and Amari DiMercato coming in for passing downs, but they had Carter in the third down role, and then they had him in the lead role with DJ Dallas. Then they had Tony Jones as well. And Carter and honestly, I'll say this because I believe Carter is a very talented player. I think he is, like, on most rosters and most years, he's not a player that's playing late in the game in the fourth quarter of a preseason game. Yeah, and he should look good against those guys. And he did, though. He did.
Yeah.
But Tony Jones, a guy who also won't be making this team, but showed, like, it showed some versatility. Like, they brought him in last year. You know, we kind of joked about, like, how much impact he could make because he had a career 2.9 yards per carry. In the handful of carries that he had, he averaged 5 yards a carry for the Cardinals. But he's a big body. He can run between the tackles. He can pass block a little bit, and he can catch the ball. And so he's a guy that you anticipate will find a role somewhere. He spent 4 seasons doing, you know, appearing in a handful of games for the Saints before Cardinals signed him. So, but I thought both of them showed well. I just don't think it's going to make a difference because the 4 running backs that are going to be in the roster, unless there's an injury to one of them, it's going to be Connor, it's going to be Benson, it's going to be DiMercato, and it's going to be DJ Dallas, because DJ Dallas has the guarantees in his contract. He's probably their primary returner. And so there's just not room for Carter or Benson. I mean, for Carter or Jones, but both of them stood out to me.
Yeah, and I thought they both, you know, did a nice job. I would say that for me, the guys that stood out or that played well, you kind of mentioned Dan Chisina earlier, but I wanted to mention Marquise Hayes. I made fun of Steve Keim earlier, so I'll go back and talk about, Hayes, seventh round pick in Keim's last year.
Yeah.
He's hung on somehow, some way in Arizona, and he looked good. He looked good this in the first preseason game. You give him a little bit of love for that. But for the most part, it was a rather mundane offensive performance, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it was. And I was glad to see it pick up in the second half, because the first half was really, really bad. It was really bad. And like in terms of duds, like the biggest duds that we saw in the game, I think Desmond Ridder had a dud of a game.
Yeah.
Tajon Palmer had a dud of a game. Isaiah Adams was one of the was disappointing things. Other than that, like overall,
I thought Elijah Wilkinson was awful.
In fairness,
he was playing a new position. I get that.
Do we ever want to see Elijah Wilkinson playing left tackle? We've seen him. I've seen him play. Like, I know he plays tackle, and he's got a spot on the roster. His salary is 100% guaranteed this year. But I think they're working with different spots. Like, he can play guard. He can play in his career in the NFL, he's played left guard. He's played right guard. He's played right tackle. To see him at left tackle, I'm like, why are we doing that?
Right, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see how it works out. But yeah. He didn't do great defensively. We kind of hit on it already. I feel bad. I don't want to double down too much. I will say I was a little disappointed. I was just a little bit disappointed with Victor Dimakaji. Is he a lock for this roster, you think?
That outside linebacker room, I'm not sure. I don't know. I think so right now, but I'm not sure. He didn't do anything, but the fact that they used Cameron Thomas both on the edge and on the interior, I'm like, I think that means he might have a role on the team. But yeah, Dimakaji was unimpressive. Yeah, I don't know what to think about that as outside linebacker room. I'm like, all right, Dennis Gardeck, smothering of Cameron Thomas, Mac Wilson, and Darius Robinson. I think that might be the way they have to end Xavier Thomas. That might be the way they have to go. I don't know, because after Zave and after Dennis Gardeck, like you're looking at the group, you're like, this is last year again. And Dimakaji at least looked good early last year.
Right.
But yeah. Let's do one more spot. So coming up next on the Rest of the Series podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk of the Line. Let's talk about what's happening this week in Indy. What do we want to see? That's coming up next on Rise of the Series. We're back on the Rise of the Red podcast, best our Cardinals talk a little bit. We're recording Tuesday night, so the Cardinals are now in Indianapolis, and by the time this hits, the Cardinals will probably be on the field or about to be on the field. Well, at least Wednesday, they will have their first of two joint practices with the Colts, and if it's going to be anything like they did last year against Minnesota, these are where they're going to have their most intense types of practices, game-like simulations, and it will give the starters the work, so that they don't have to play this week. This will be their, this is going to be the starters' preseason, I'm guessing. And I'm just told, like, don't get hurt. Nobody get hurt. We're seeing guys get hurt all over the league, and this is the part about training camp in the preseason that is just awful, is because you got to get guys ready for the season, and then what happens in Minnesota? J.J. McCarthy goes down with an injury. Malik Nabers go down with an injury. Christian McCaffrey's goes down with an injury for San Francisco. You're like, but those are the guys, like have back of the roster guys get hurt, because then they can go on IR and get paid, but the guys that teams are counting on, It's just a rough time. What injuries when games don't count? That sucks.
Right. And that's the hard part. I think the first thing you look at is you want to see, the rookies we discussed outside of Marvin Harrison really, kind of continue to grow. improve from game one to two, especially guys like Isaiah Adams, you know, Elijah Jones, and those guys. So that way they can, you know, you're comfortable with them making the roster, and you're not just saying like, oh, they're on the roster because, you know, they were draft picks this year.
Max Melton. I hope Max Melton plays this week.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then the second thing is you just want to see guys that had good week ones carry over, right? So Dan Chisina, Marquise Hayes, you know, Tony Jones Jr., obviously, Michael Carter, the guys you mentioned earlier, Starling Thomas, if he plays, you know, those guys carry it over into week two if they're on the field. Because that's the thing is we don't want to see one-offs and then go back to having questions. The more consistency that we see from this, the easier it is to visualize, you know, like, oh, this is what next year can look like from a positive standpoint.
And absolutely, can somebody do something? Now, Xavier Thomas, if he keeps showing up, I mean, but I also don't want the Cardinals to have to count on Xavier Thomas for any significant role. I want anything that he does this year to be a bonus, to be gravy and not have to count on him. So I'm like, please somebody in the outside linebacker or do something. Honestly, Cameron Thomas. Cam, I've loved you as a draft pick, as a prospect. I thought that he was, and he looked good that rookie year. There wasn't anything about his game that said he was going to fail. Like, he has the athleticism. He has the versatility. He has the effort. Why hasn't he done it yet in this defense? Because he looked like he was about to in Vance Joseph's defense. Why hasn't he done it? Cam Thomas, do it. Then it would just make us all feel better.
Correct, and it'd make our life easier too.
And then the Cardinals, yeah, is right now we're like, is he going to make the team? I don't know. Maybe. That we don't know anything, and they didn't sign an outside linebacker. They didn't sign a Carl Lawson, and they didn't sign a Justin Holland. So who knows? But you know, in the game, I would anticipate. Do you think Harrison plays? I think they'll try and get Harrison because I think they want him to, you know, maybe a series, maybe two, like last week, and get him a throw, get him catch the ball once, and then get him out of the game.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be nice to see, you know, and I thought what Gannon said was interesting, talking about like it was important for Marvin Harrison Jr. to get find his game day routine for the NFL because it is wildly different than college, right? So you wonder if he'll have a similar idea about that for the road, right? Like,
That would absolutely make sense. Yeah.
Yeah, like, hey, you know, two snaps, three snaps, four snaps, whatever. And then he's out of there and you don't worry about it. And you're like, okay, so now you've done it on off or at home and on the road.
Yeah. No, ideally, he's playing 10, 11 snaps, right? Because ideally, the first offensive series it gets a couple of first downs. Maybe they score a touchdown. So you don't, like, the reason they pulled him is because it was the first series. So that was the plan. Stupid. Maybe I would guess. I don't know. Are the Colts going to play starters? I think that's a question I'm going to have to ask Paul Breadle when
Yeah, you're definitely going to have to ask the other because I just don't know what other teams do at this point. Like, you see some, and then Hollywood gets hurt, and now people are like, oh, you know, is it smart? I don't know. Like, I just don't know what the right answer is. I don't think that there's a right or wrong answer.
It's just football sucks sometimes.
Right, exactly.
We love football, and football is the worst. Why? Why does football do this? And it's such a, and it's a game, it's just impossible to guarantee everyone's health. It's just so hard to do when you have to do the things that football requires them to do.
Right.
But with that said, we might have something from Howard later this week, but since it's still preseason, Seth and I will be back next week, and we're still a little bit away from before we start doing the multiple shows. So that wraps up this edition of the Rise Up Secret Podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Rule. We'll be back again next week. Thanks for listening, as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red Podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red.
Roll!